portions of this hour brought to you by Papa John's Pizza. Monday's menu just got a whole lot last Monday. Order online and get a one-topping medium for just $7 when you use the promo code MONDAYMENU. Better ingredients, better pizza. That's Papa John's.
Welcome to Inside the Stripes with Bud Steen, only on the Jason Gregor Show, on your home for Edmonton sports, TSN 1260.
If you bump me at work, I can't get it done. You're too tired, babe.
3:32, Inside the Stripes is back once again, another season where we break down all the new rules in the CFL, some of the officiating. Man, we got the Rick Campbell, Daron Carter situation to break down and much more as Bud Steen joins. How's your golf game last week?
You know, it was a really good weekend of football.
Nice. Okay.
Hey, I'm never going like to be a pro.
It's good.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's fun. It's relaxing.
Now, I want to quickly, because they're having studio, you know, Eskimo fans, they'll be back. They had their home opener, lost to Ottawa in overtime. And everybody was like, what happened at the end of the game? Ottawa had half their team on the ice, on the field. So the first thing I do want to discuss for people, the line judges are somebody you can watch if you're ever looking, okay, when can players substitute or not? The line judges stand basically right on the line of scrimmage, right in front of each bench on the sidelines. And when their arms go straight out to the sides or a little bit up, that means, quote, the gates are closed. You cannot make a substitution.
That you are partially correct. That means that the offensive team can no longer substitute. The defense can substitute right up to the snap of the football. They can run players
except
on,
in hurry-up offense.
If team A, if the offense does not substitute and signal tempo, then the defense cannot substitute.
Okay.
But otherwise, they're not controlled by the gates as they used to be a few years ago before we changed the rule on the defensive substitution.
So on that play, because the official in front of the Eskimos bench, and there's a picture, anybody can see it on TV, he had his arms out, so the gates were closed to the offense. But if you looked across the field to the official in front of the Ottawa bench, who I'm guessing is the kind of one who controls the Ottawa bench, he doesn't even have his ups. He's on the field because Ottawa's got like nine guys on. And I know it's a still shot, so it's hard to know when the arms went up or not, but what happened on that play that Ottawa had so many people on? People are like, well, Ottawa should have too many men. The play shouldn't happen. What went wrong?
Right. So, frankly, what went wrong was we rushed the play. The referee, knowing that there were, 7 or 10 seconds left in the game, should have had an inkling that something would happen. Is Ottawa going to elect to try their field goal from where they are, or will Ottawa attempt to get a play in and not burn the clock and try a field goal on the next play? In this particular case, he blew the play in, and Ottawa had made their decision and had sent some of their field goal unit onto the field. The head linesman, who at that point in the game was standing in front of the Ottawa bench, realized that he had his gates down because Ottawa was clearly mass substituting and the clock should have been stopped for that substitution. The head linesman does not have the authority to stop the clock unless the team takes a timeout. It's up to the referee to stop that. But clearly, in that case, the referee recognized what was going on pretty quickly, and he then stopped the clock, put 3 seconds back on, allowed Ottawa to substitute, and away we went. The rules are quite clear that the offensive team should be given an opportunity to decide what it's going to do on a play, as long as it's not delaying the game in doing so. And in this case, there really wasn't any delay. We were just a little bit quick on trying to get the game over.
Okay. Now, the big, and it's, it really has nothing to do with the officials, but Daron Carter scores a touchdown, gets crushed on the hit in the end zone, is walking back to the bench. First of all, you should never have two benches on the same side. I think we can all agree that would be an ideal situation to remove that. But what is the penalty on coaches being on the field, Bud? Like, has it ever, like, is it in the rule book? Is there supposed to be a penalty? Because nowadays, you know, after every play, the coach is on the field 5 yards.
Yeah. So the coaches are not supposed to be on the field. There is not a specific rule that says that they're not entitled to stand on the field, to come onto the field. But there is an area in which the coaches are able to wander, and that is immediately adjacent to the boundary, to the out-of-bounds line, that big, thick white stripe that surrounds the field, and another line behind that 2 yards back. So they have a 6-foot little window on their bench that they're entitled to occupy alone. Players are all supposed to be on the bench behind that 6-foot line and not invading the coach's space, and certainly not getting too close to the officials. That's theory. Okay. In practice,
is it ever called?
No.
Why not?
What's the benefit to the game? All you're going to do is aggravate everyone. You're going to now have a coach standing.
But then why have it in the rule book at all?
Then? Well, it's not, there's a general understanding that teams are supposed to be on their benches, and we, the officials, are not really going to police that. If a team, as Edmonton did a few years ago, bleed all over the sideline and get coaches and players down at the 30 or 35 yard line, now there is an advantage to the football club because they're gaining some information that if the rule is being enforced against the opponent on the other side, that is to say, requiring the team to remain in its bench area between the 45s, now one team's got an advantage over the other. That the league will deal with that. The league will send a memo to the general manager. If it gets bad enough, then the league will step in with some form of discipline. But, you know, it's much like years ago, we used to be the fashion police on the field. We would go out in the pregame walk, and we would point out to a player that is, you know, no, you can't play like, you can't have that on. And I can tell you that the conversations we got into and the aggravation, it was painful. It was awful. We'd have guys wanting to thump us before the game even started because we were bitching about a towel or a tape job or a lack of a tape job. And we complained
about it. That shouldn't be on the officials.
No, exactly. And so quite frankly, unless an official is being prevented from doing his job, that is moving along the sideline by players or coaches, it should be a non-issue for the officials.
Okay. Now, this has something to do with, you know, outside your realm. The suspension will be come down potentially, or a fine from Daron Carter and Rick Campbell, who I think did a pretty good job of selling it. You know, Daron Carter walking. I don't think he ever really walked into him. He just didn't walk out of the path. Both, I guess, are at fault. And at the same time, did it impact the game at all? You talked about it, but I know you don't want it to be open season, but at the same time, to me, I would just find both guys and say the next coach who's on the field, you know, because there's certain places it's never going to happen.
Right.
Like in Edmonton, if you're coming back to your bench, there's no reason to be by the Saskatchewan coach or the Calgary coach because they're on the other side of the field.
Correct. Yeah. So did that impact the football game? No. Did it impact the game? I would say yes, because it turned into a melee. And anytime you have a brouhaha in a football game, I believe it undermines the integrity of the game. You know, it looked bad, looked really bad in that game. Now, McGill is a very tough park. It's smaller than all of the other parks. Frankly, I believe it's even smaller than Ivor Wynne was. It's very, very tight. And you know, there's all kinds of logistical reasons why both clubs are on one side, but I can tell you that those two ball clubs are not very far apart, and you've got a game that is very fiery. The players are extraordinarily passionate, and many of them late in the game, their tempers are absolutely thin. So stuff can happen. You know, the league's going to take all of that into consideration when it decides what it's ultimately going to do there. But it certainly did not look very good at all, and I think that to a small extent the officials have to wear something from that football game. it was not properly explained. I was confused myself watching the game, how Montreal could end up positive 15 yards on the play. And it wasn't until I spoke with the replay official. I was doing the second game on Thursday night. I spoke to him before our game started and found out, you know, what had happened. And frankly, there were multiple unnecessary roughness penalties against Ottawa, and the referee didn't announce everything that had occurred and all of the penalties that were being applied. So as it turned out, Montreal ended up with the advantage. Carter walks into the coach, gets tossed from the game, and Montreal ends up plus yardage on it.
Well, when you think about it, it made sense considering all the Ottawa guys and what they did. And,
sure.
But now we've got to take a quick break. I do want to come back. Something tells me that in the evaluating process, if the official's not announcing to the people in the building what the penalties are, that's probably going to be a docking of points. So we'll get to that and more. Bud Steen, Inside the Stripes, and Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260.
Portions of this hour brought to you by World Health, where they're dedicated to providing you the highest level of customer service and satisfaction. Their fitness professionals are dedicated to your success, and they're always willing to lend a helping hand. Call 310-TRIM today. That's World Health.
Loud, obnoxious, and all hours. The Jason Greger Show on your home for Edmonton sports. TSN 1260.
348. Jason Greger with you. Bud Steen along for Crease Lightning. Now, the big change this year in the CFL, there was a few rule changes, but the biggest rule change was now there's the eye in the sky at the games who can get on the headphone down to the referee if there's been a mistake and fix it before it's called, and then everybody's losing their minds over it. Has it happened this year, Bud Steen?
Yes. Yes, it has. And I'll just correct you because that eye is clearly in the sky. It's in Toronto. The video official is sitting in the command center with the replay official. They've got more equipment now so that the video official is looking at a screen that it's called Coaches 24. TSN is supplying a static camera pointing at the side of the stadium, so you see all 24 players, and the camera does not move during the play, so that you see the movement of all of the players and everything.
Ooh.
You're not chasing the football around like they do on television.
Yes.
So they've got Coaches 24. They have all of the stuff that's available for the replay official as well, and from TSN. So their job is to be watching at all times to see that the spots are good. I mean, sometimes our guys are a little generous, and so they can move a ball backwards or forwards depending upon where it actually went dead. The big one is to ensure that we get the point of application of fouls on kicking plays. And I suppose it would also work for things like pass interference way downfield. Because as you see, if you're watching the games, the official sees the penalty. Sometimes he gets his flag on the second pull because it's stuck, and then he tosses it, and the flag has got a weight of sand in it, and it might get somewhere near a spot. Generally speaking, the official gets a ballpark. Okay, the ball was held at the 35-yard line when I saw that illegal block. So the video official will go through that quickly, note exactly where the ball was held when the infraction occurred, and say to the official that's going to be applying the penalty, because he's in direct communication with the crew. They've all got this system called CrewCom. He talks to him and says, listen, Joe, apply that penalty from the 35, not from the 40. And we get it right.
Okay.
And it's to a great extent.
And most people, honestly, that's not most people, because when you're watching the game, virtually no chance you're going to be able to pick up where that ball was anyway.
No, you won't. But it supports the credibility of the effort of the officials. And it's, you know, sometimes if you're watching a game, you might say to yourself, what's wrong with that guy? Like, how can he apply the penalty from there? So it's all about just supporting the credibility of what the guys are doing there. And it's working. And yes, we did have an instance this past weekend where the video official got involved and saved the crew's butt.
Now, we have some American officials, NFL officials,
yes, four,
that have been working
yep.
so far.
Yep.
How have they adjusted to the CFL game? What's been the feedback from them and maybe even from coaches, players, or yourself as an evaluator to how they're doing?
Okay, so from them, they are truly excited to be engaged with the Canadian Football League. They're members of what's called the Prospect Program in the NFL. Some of them have a year of experience on the NFL field. Some of them are being looked at to go onto the NFL field. They love the fact that they have an opportunity to officiate, get lots of reps at the professional level. They have been mentored by a former member of the CFL staff who is now in his 22nd season in the NFL, Boris Cheek. Boris actually came to our camp this year, and the hours that I spent with him, he never stopped talking about how good it was to work in the CFL and the difference between the two games and the fact that the NFL is a much more compact, precise game. It's not the wide open game that we enjoy here in Canada. It doesn't have the speed and the unpredictability of the Canadian game. And just from an enjoyment perspective, he believes that the Canadian game is far superior to the American game. Now, we could get into a debate with your listeners on what's a better game, but, I mean, they're different games. The American game is about strength and very small lanes. The Canadian game is about moving people out of position and being able to get balls out to players in the open. The American officials, they're doing a good job. I think that if your listeners have paid attention to the games, they probably don't even know that the guys are out there. They're virtually no different from the Canadian officials. And we also have a number of new officials working in the same positions that are Canadians that have come up through CIS. And you virtually cannot tell the two sets of officials apart. So frankly, I think it speaks loudly for the strength of our programs in Canada. We are developing very good officials. I've said it for years that we have very, very competent officials on our field in the CFL. And my personal opinion right now is that the four gentlemen that have come up here are no better than what we have. You know, it's nice to have more stock. It's nice to have new bodies. It's nice to have new ideas. But, you know, they're not head and shoulders better than what has been on the field and what we are putting on the field. The nice part about the program is we've got three guys going down and getting their foot in the door in the NFL. And quite frankly, I believe that there are one or two of those guys that have a very, very good chance at sticking down there and working in the NFL.
What position are they that go down there?
They're going to work line. Two of them are going to work line of scrimmage, and one of them is going to work downfield. And great opportunities for them. They're going to learn different process. That is to say, game preparation, because they do things differently down there. And we're hopeful that they can bring that back and educate our guys up here on just different approaches to getting themselves mentally prepared for a football game. And hopefully they don't get too messed up with the different rule book.
Yeah, I would think so. There's definitely a lot of differences. Now, the rule changes this year.
Yep.
I know it's only been 2 weeks, but what have you seen as the best change amongst the new rule?
Well, we've got the new rule on offsetting penalties. If you have, if you've got dual minors, so example, Team A is the offense is offside, the offense is holding, and the defense had been offside. And if the guy that's doing the holding is holding the guy that came in offside, that's an offsetting penalty. It's not going to be 5 against 1 and 10 against the other. We just wipe them both out and replay the down. The referee
as it should.
Bang. Exactly. So that, I think, is a very, very positive move. Generally speaking, I think the biggest change, and it's a continuing one, and it will continue for quite some time, all about player safety. And you see it on how the trainers are dealing with injuries on the field, and you're seeing it with the increased number of penalties called for hands to the face, for example, any hits above the shoulders. And I think we're going to see more and more of those kinds of rules that are going to be employed in the game to make it safer for the players. Peel back block rule came in this year, so an offensive player cannot come back towards his dead ball line and sucker a defensive player that doesn't see him coming. He has to get around in front of him to hit him. He can't hit him where the defensive player can't see him coming. Again, player safety. You know, years ago we introduced the horse collar tackle rule. You know, it's all there to try to keep the players playing and keep them off the IR. You know, hopefully they can have long and productive careers. We don't want half your roster sitting in the dressing room because they're all getting rehabbed.
But as always, good to talk to you. We will chat next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Yes, sir.